Welcome to Mimika TV. I'm your host, Mimika Cooney. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
Hi, everyone. It's Mimika Cooney, and welcome to another episode of Mimika TV. I am so excited about this guest because he too is a podcaster. So he knows this medium and he knows how fun this is to be able to interact with our audience. Now, of course, this is us being going live. We're trying this new format and I think it's cool. So why I love it is I want you to grab your phones or whatever you're on right now, whatever device you're using. At the bottom of the stream, it'll say click to share. So go ahead and do that now. That way then I'm going to do that as well. I'm going to have my phone out handy. So when I have a chance, I'm going to make sure, of course, there's me in retro. So what it is, at the bottom of the phone, you'll see there's a little share button. And if you just want to click to share, and you can share that to your Facebook page, if you're on a group, go ahead and do that, because we would love to get the interaction and our comments. We've got a great topic we're going to cover today, because Eric and I love this whole concept of podcasing. Now, of course, we've got the element of video, so you can see our happy faces. Yes. And we will be checking the comments. So if what we're talking about today really interests you, go ahead and add those little comments below. We love to be able to interact with our audience and get your feedback. So without further ado, I'm going to give you a little bit of a bio so I can explain exactly who we are talking to today. So today's guest is Eric Nevins. He's the host and producer of the Halfway There podcast, exploring the Christian spiritual journey. He founded the Christian Podcasters Association, a Facebook group dedicated to helping Christian podcasters get their message out. So welcome, Eric. Welcome to Mimika TV. I'm so excited to be on this side of the fence, getting a chance to interview you.
It is fun to be here. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always fun to talk to a fellow podcaster because, you know, you and I can talk, I'm sure. And our audience will, I'm sure, have a lot to say, especially this sort of medium. And of course, all of us right now are at home. Well, at least if you're not an essential worker, so thanks to those who are out there. But what I love about this is that we're all connected. But it doesn't matter where you are in the world. You could be in England, South Africa, America. We can connect with you. And as of right now, if you're watching live, we are connecting with you live. And this is what I love about the whole concept of messaging and getting your message out there and being able to share your story. So before we get into the nuts and bolts of podcasting, why we think you really enjoy this concept, tell our audience a little bit about your story and how you got doing what you're doing today.
Yeah. Well, so it all starts a few years ago. About 15 years ago, we moved to Denver and to pursue a theological education. I got that, got out, and happened to graduate right in the middle of a downturn and you know, the 2008-2009 thing. And that turned out to be a really bad time to graduate. So I ended up working at a bank, not as a pastor like I was expecting. And I was really mad about that for a long time. I was not happy working at the bank. So I did that forever. I took phone calls. I worked in a call center thinking I was just wasting my time all the time. Eventually, I ended up moving from a call center where I would read blogs all day to a job where I actually had to work for a living. You know, I had to click stuff and do things on my computer. And so to entertain myself, I switched to podcasts. And that's how I discovered podcasting. It wasn't too long before I started to think, you know, it's kind of like what happens to all of us. Hey, I could do that, right? Maybe I should do something like that. And so then I started looking for a way to integrate some of my theological training with the idea of podcasting. And that's how I came up with my show, Halfway There. Started that in 2016. I've been doing it ever since. And eventually it's kind of morphed into doing some of the other things that I do, which is really fun.
Well, that is so cool. I love that story. And why I love this is I want to highlight it in case you didn't notice, is that you had this idea of where you want to go. And of course, things happen like 2008, 2020, things are out of our control. Things happen. But what I love is that the idea is that there's always an opportunity to pivot. And this, especially with God, I love how he provides our opportunities. And what I'll say is, even though you were frustrated working in a call center, you know what you were in? You were in your training of how to be a really good interviewer. Because you were learning to listen, how to overcome objections, how to listen to people's story, how to speak. And it's that's what I love about this whole concept is where we're at right now. Why I'm so excited is even though the normal of what we had might seem like we've either lost a job or we've lost, you know, our business isn't doing well or something isn't working. Churches are closed. Because our boats have been rocked, what I'm excited about is it's a new opportunity. There are always opportunities, even in a downturn. And the reason I say that, because, you know, I'm South African and I've lived through apartheid and a lot of ups and downs politically. So what we're going through right now, I always say, what goes down must come up. And wherever there is, you know, a downturn in one thing, it opens an opportunity for something else. So I love how, even though you felt frustrated, and in the, wouldn't you say at that time you couldn't see, you think, where is this taking me? Where am I going?
I thought I was wasting my life. I literally did that. I had a picture or a little quote card that I made myself of a quote from Steve Jobs. And the quote was, if you were going to die tomorrow, would you want to do what you're going to do today? Right. And I just, it tortured me for years because I hung that on my cube. I would come in and be the first thing I'd see. And I would go, nope, I wouldn't sit down and do what I'm about to do. I'd go home and be with my family. Well, now we're all with our families all day. Right. But it's really good. You make a great point too about training, right? I thought I was not doing anything worthwhile, but I learned exactly what you said. I learned how to listen. I learned how to ask a question and just be quiet for a second, right? Just let that go. I also learned how to use things like dead space, you know, obviously in radio and kind of our medium, we don't love that. But when you're interviewing somebody, sometimes the best thing to do is ask your question and just let them think about it. And sometimes the longer they think about it, the better the answer is going to be, right? Because they're kind of thinking about, oh, how am I going to, you know, they're going through their options. But that, I wouldn't have learned if I didn't spend 10 years in a call center getting yelled at and beat up for a decade, you know?
Exactly. And that's what I say is, you might not feel, it's kind of like, you can tell I'm a child of the 80s, you know, Mr. Miyagi and the Karate Kid, if you remember the wax on, wax off thing, where he was like, why am I washing the car? Why am I painting the fence? Because he didn't realize that was training for when he needed to fight. And I think this is what we can kind of, I always like to say, flip the script. If you have this play that's going on in your mind right now, like, oh, this is terrible. Oh my gosh, I've lost this. And looking at the losses and the negativity, I want you to start thinking about flipping it and thinking, what can I do now that I've always thought I never had time to do? Because now we have, some of us have more and less time. For me, I feel like I'm busier now than I was because I have a 9-year-old homeschooling. So props to us parents out there. But it's amazing how in times of necessity, you figure out ways to do things. And eventually after we've got over the hairy, scary part, we've kind of like settled into a new normal. So what would you say, like, okay, so you'd spend 10 years. Now we understand, okay, we can kind of sort of put it into a new, looking back, you know, hindsight's 2020, of course. You realize you've been able to use these things. You were able to learn how to speak to people. Tell me a little bit about why you feel like now is the time that things like podcasting and sharing stories and, you know, just being more vulnerable online is like so key to where we're going.
Yeah. Oh man, I have so many thoughts on that. One, the first one is, you're right. Being vulnerable online is so important. It's always been powerful. And the people who tend to draw audiences are the people who are willing to do that. But I'm really curious. So my background obviously is in the church. I'm so interested to see all these churches now putting their stuff online, right? And putting their services. And you can tell a difference between those who are just trying to put what they're creating content that they really or would create for a live audience and just putting online versus those who are willing to engage the audience. Because you and I both know social media is really about being social, right? It's about the conversation. It's about starting that and drawing others in to share with you. And so if you ask a good question, it's not just about sharing information. It's about, you know, asking a question and getting that response. And that's how you create the vulnerability, right? That's how you attract it, I guess. So I totally think that's good. As far as podcasting, I love the medium of podcasting. Podcasting has given me a voice and helped me to find myself. My new favorite saying is podcasting is as much about personal development as it is about audience development. And so you're finding who you are and you're able to speak. I'm helping my wife start a podcast. She's going to do it because she sees that opportunity as well. But it's a great time. You know, we just passed 1 million podcasts out there, right? So not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. But even if you look at the ones that are active, it's still less than 300,000, which is incredible And then you get divide that by 19 categories. You know, there's still a huge opportunity, especially when you compare to blogs, when you compare to YouTube, which has millions and millions of YouTubers, right? Podcasting is where it's at. You don't need to convince a radio station head to put you on air. You can just do it. You can be bad at it at the beginning and let yourself get better. And I think that's the real key.
Well, this is what I think is so great about this. I mean, for me personally, I started this Mamika TV show in 2013. And back then was before the days of Facebook Live. And just to tell you how quickly the industry has changed and how it's been able to adapt. I mean, back then we didn't have Facebook Live. I paid $350 for a company to stream what we're doing today. So what we seeing us on screen, seeing us live streaming, I couldn't see my guest. I was on Skype and they would stream them in and they would do, you know, okay, now you're live. And for me, because I've been trained as a TV broadcaster, this I'm not scared of this element. But what I'm trying to say is, the software has developed so much that is now easier than it's ever been to share your story. And the reason why I believe storytelling and sharing where your journey and your bruises, your bumps, your triumphs, your failures is it connects with people by you sharing your story and being vulnerable. And this is what I love about this. I mean, right now, I'm in my bedroom because it's the only quiet room in the house. My office downstairs has become a catch-all for everything and everyone. Because it's like, you know, I'm sure parents at home are like, when their little kids see us, like, oh, mom's there, so let's go play. And I'm like, oh. So the only way I can get some quiet is to be in my bedroom and I will spare you the laundry behind the screen. So I, you know, trying to keep your focus on the conversation, not the laundry. So, but this is how, what I feel is like just being real, and we don't need to have a fancy studio. We don't have to have all the nuts and bolts and, you know, the shiny things. People just want to connect on a personal level. Like, hey, this is my life and this is what I'm dealing with right now. I'm making the best of what it is. And it's now easier than ever. So I know as podcasters, we love this medium. So let's flip it a little bit for those who are listening. Perhaps they have a business, or they have a book they've written, or they have a story, or they have a, you know, a nonprofit, or they feel like they're invisible. Let's talk a little bit about those who've maybe never considered the idea of being a podcast guest and the elements and the benefits to that. Cause I personally find it fabulous.
Yeah. Well, I have had authors say to me that fairly high profile authors that they can do an interview on terrestrial radio and not see any real bump in their sales, but they can do a podcast or two and see, they can actually see when it goes out, they can see people buy because podcasts have more engaged guests, which is really interesting. So especially if, you know, the great thing is you can niche as much as you want, right? So a lot of shows have a really specific audience. If you're trying to reach them with your book or your coaching or whatever it is, you can go find exactly the people that you want to connect with in a podcast. And so that's great. You got to do it right. Right. You know, you got to do some certain things. And so I wrote a little ebook called How to Be a Great Podcast Guest for that reason. Right. Cause you want to show up. If you're going to be a guest, you want to be a good interview. You want to be ready. You want to have heard the show a little bit. You want to, you know, have a good microphone, all those kinds of things. But it really isn't that hard. And it's also fun, you know, having these conversations is a great time.
Exactly. And I mean, what I love about that is like, even when I think of when I was a podcast guest, even though when I started, I'd be like, blah, 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 too wordy. And eventually you realize, oh, hang on, that doesn't really, I need to cut that out. And it's kind of your practice run. So even if you decide you want to be on stage one day and you're like, how am I ever going to get there? Being a podcast guest and doing it over and over and over, and you refine your story, you refine your messaging, you're refining, you know, it's kind of like a comedian. He knows what lands, the jokes that land. Not to mean that you have to be have like a monologue, because that's obviously a no-no unless you have a solo show. But what I love about this is in this 7 odd years I've done this show is the relationships. Wouldn't you say that is totally awesome too, how relationships with other people?
I always tell people that's the most surprising thing and my favorite thing about podcasting. When I worked at the bank, I did not network ever. I was never one of those guys who was like trying to meet everybody and do all the things. I just didn't care. But with podcasting, I love it. So I talk to, you know, I'll talk to anybody, right? So I love going to conferences. Got to go to the Spark conference back in February, the last one, like right before everything kind of blew up. That was really fun. But you know, just I would talking to strangers, the networking opportunities, learning to connect people. You know how powerful that is when you're the person that you say, oh, you've got a show. There's a friend I've been sending people recently. He's got a show on mentoring, right? Well, I have a mentor because one of the cool things about my school where I went is they have a mentoring program. And one of my mentors ran that program for a number of years. I connected them. And then that is powerful for both of them, right? Never did that before. But that is a really fun thing. And then also, you know, that's one reason I started Christian Podcasters Association as a Facebook group, because we can get together and do those kinds of things and help each other by just knowing each other. Podcasting is a lonely business if you're just in your basement. Yeah. Right?
You're in the little corner of your room and you're like, hey, I'm out there. So I'm like, I might look good from here, but you don't want to see the slippers underneath the table. Yeah, right. But also what I love about it is that, I mean, I'm a mom of three kids, although I'd say mostly one I'm caring for because the other ones are 19 and 21. But I can be in the comfort of my home and I can get my message out. I don't have to travel. I don't have to be in airports. Not that I'm going anywhere right now. But, you know, and I think we're going to see a big shift. And I personally feel like we're going to see a lot of that, you know, where we've had businesses and these huge conferences. And I love to network in person. But I think where I feel, I don't know about you, Eric, I feel things are going more personalized, especially in business and especially online. People want to know, like, hey, do you hear me? Are you like me? You know, do you understand me? I think that's really key. So let's just hop right quick. I'm just looking at the comments. So I got a little comment message through Lindy. So she is a friend of mine who's in who's South African. And I know, like, even in her situation, she says, I love what you said. What has gone down must come up, which is a great way to change the world. Exactly. Just to think that even though where we are right now, it's, you know, it's just temporary. But even how, and let's talk about how we talk about I like to call it niche because of where I grew up. In America, we like to say niche. How important that, you know, niching or niching down or getting very specific, because I think this is what I want the audience to know. There's that you don't have to be famous. You don't have to have a million followers. You have something of value that you can share, whether you're a mom who's homeschooled three kids or you are, you know, you're an entrepreneurial dad now juggling homeschooling. Like, let's talk a little bit about that and why that's becoming important.
Why niching is important?
Yes, the kind of idea of how we're going smaller. And even like from a church aspect, because you said you've got a background in church, right? Yeah. So how you said, you know, even how churches are changing the way they do things.
Yeah. Well, so I think what tends to happen is, you're right, but a lot of us tend to think that we have to have these big audiences in order to be successful. And those are the people that we like to look to. And I do too. You know, I just bought a book this week from somebody who's got one of those whole programs, right? But you really don't. You really only need a few people to be successful. And then the reality is, if you've experienced something, probably someone else has too. And if you are trying to help other people like you, you'll draw them to yourself. They'll find you eventually if you get out there. So I think that is super powerful. I'm starting to become a bigger believer in the idea. Sometimes people call it your avatar, right? You're kind of your ideal audience, right? And, you know, I spent a little bit of time thinking about that when I started my show, but not nearly enough. And so I'm digging into that. I've heard two really prominent Christian ministers who have big women's ministries say and describe how well they know their audience. Like, they know their audience in detail. So they know, like, for instance, one of them said, I heard her say, I know that women who follow me grab their phone first thing in the morning, right? That's just what they do. So she created something that would pop up as a reminder on their phone every morning to give them a chance to start their day with a scripture or devotional instead of Facebook, right? Or Instagram, whatever it is. Which I thought was really interesting, but that's how well she knows her audience. So I'm really pushing into that.
Oh yeah. I mean, for those who know me, I harp about branding and messaging, and that's my thing, is like figuring out who you're speaking to, because you can spend a lot of time and effort, whether it's writing a book, starting a podcast, sharing a story, blogging, speaking. You want to know that you're speaking to the right audience. And this is what I'm excited about, is that we don't need to have this broad brush effect of having millions of followers and all of that jazz. We can literally speak to a very specific audience. And the reason why that's important is that people and consumers are spoiled for choice. There is so much information out there. I mean, even when this podcasting started, like what, 8 years ago, I think when I launched my show, you know, getting on the new and noteworthy was like, cool, yay, you made it. It was like 1 of 100. And now it's like, as you said, 1 million shows. Of course, not all of them are active because they don't take them off. But what I find is like, if you're a mom, and the reason why podcasting is so powerful, it's very personal. Like for me, I sit in the car, in the carpool line, or I'm doing the dishes, or I'm folding laundry, and I'm listening to a podcast, and it feels like it's just me listening into a conversation for where I'm at. And that's what I really want people to take away from, is just the power of where you are right now has power to share and change someone else. So I think that is awesome. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, I'm every once in a while, I go back and read Kevin Kelly's article about 1,000 True Fans. You probably read that.
Oh, yes.
But because it's just such a powerful reminder that I don't have to have the big platform. I just need to find those 1,000 people who really resonate with my story, with what I've done, with the kind of things that I'm interested in. And that's it. You know, you keep your perspective small. You don't have to have, a huge audience right away. In fact, a lot of podcasts, when I started out, I had 30 to 40 downloads an episode, right? And I talk to new podcasters all the time who go, you know, I'm not getting any traction. No, actually, that's pretty good. If you're getting 30 or 40 downloads, you've got 30 or 40 people who want to hear what you have to say. And it's great if they keep showing up. So, start small. Podcasting is a long investment.
It's the long haul, right? And also, what I wanted to mention is that I also think we shouldn't be focused on the numbers, because even the downloads are erroneous. Because I know, like with Apple phones, I can listen and stream it without downloading, and it doesn't count as a download. Yeah. Where some podcasts are like only the number of downloads, where, you know, you click the little button and it says downloads to your phone. Right. I mean, if I'm in Wi-Fi, I don't want to download an episode that, you know, onto my phone. So some of the times focusing on the numbers is just going to get you frustrated, especially if you're starting, like, if I'm talking to those people who are interested in podcasting themselves, having their own show. That is a longer view, but it's a relationship with your audience. And you know, you can, as you grow, your audience will grow as well. And it's okay that, you know, your messaging might change a little, or it might get more focused, or you might decide to start another show. I know several podcasters who have different shows for different niches, for different audiences. But anyway, so I think that's what is super great. So even for those who are listening who maybe never thought about it, you have a story. And then even sharing your story, you just need to go to the chart that, like, I think, where's the latest one? Is the Apple iTunes charts lists where all the podcasts are and what shows are? Where do you go and find podcasts to follow?
Yeah, I use Chartable. So that's a great service, chartable.com. And they've got charts around the world. So you can look, wherever you are and see whatever category you're in, or just the overall charts as well. I use that a lot for my work with Podcast Magazine. So I'm the religion and spirituality category director for that. And so when I want to go look and see who do I want to interview, I go into Chartable.
Oh, awesome. Well, and that's also fabulous as well. I just love how the community of podcasts is, like, you have, you know, and now you have a Christian Podcasting Association, which is, you know, more niche down. So there's always a community. There's always ways to find people who are like-minded, who are following the same interests that you have, which is totally awesome. And I've also got to say thanks for nominating me in the Top 50 Moms podcasting. That was so cool. That was so cute to see that. So I appreciate that. But it's always great to know that, you know, you don't have to be super famous. You've got something important to say. So even if you're not considering having your own show, what would you say would be your top tips for being a great podcast guest?
I would say you should probably listen to the show before you go on at least once. You need to have a decent microphone, and you need to have decent internet connection. So as long as you can do those two things, you can get a microphone. There's the Audio Technica ATR 2100. They just came out with a new version of that. It's $100. So it's not a huge investment, but at least it can plug right into your computer. It's very versatile. You can use it in lots of situations. Decent mic, and you'll sound better. But then also, you definitely want to make sure you have a good internet connection. I've had people try to do a podcast interview from a coffee shop. That's not cool, right?
Oh gosh, please no. I've had that once and can tell you why it's a nightmare. You might not notice the background noise, but the audience will hear everything.
Yeah.
You can put up with scratchy sort of blurry video, but people cannot put up with scratchy, horrible sound. It's like nails on a chalkboard. You're like, ah!
It's really hard. So you don't want to do that. So you want to have good internet. If you can connect via hardwire, right, to the router, which is why my router is right down here, right? So so I can do that.
Exactly. Especially with everybody on and their auntie on Zoom lately or on using the internet. Yeah. Like we've had a few instances where we've been booted out because it's just the bandwidth is being used. If you can make it easier and eliminate. And the thing is, like you said, $100 for the mic. I mean, this is my husband's setup because it's, you know, but this is also the ATR as well.
Yeah.
And why I love it is it's got a nice clean sound. It doesn't pick up all the background. Like I used to use the Blue Yeti and I'm like, I'm so over that because you can literally hear the birds chirping outside.
Right.
Great for a area you want to, you know, but not so great when you're doing podcasting because, you know, podcasting is somebody's listening like really close with their ears.
Yeah, there's two kinds of microphones and that's one thing most people don't even think about, right? So there's the Blue Yeti tends to be a condenser microphone. So it's trying to pick up the whole room. And whereas like this, I have the Hi-LPR 40 or the Audio Technica 2100, they're dynamic microphones. And so they're only designed to pick up what's right in front of them. And so if you know that, you know, then you can get it. So even my kids will be upstairs or the dog will go crazy. It won't hear it. I also use a compressor, but you don't have to have all that. Cause that'll cut off everything. But this is fine.
Exactly. Just start small, right? For my guests, even if they're on, and I also say, don't try doing an interview from your phone. It just doesn't work because of the whole internet connectivity. And also like right now, you can see us we're on a landscape format because that's how we watch TV, right? That's
right.
How we want to record a TV show or video. But what I would say is an absolute minimum, get your earphones, like the ones that come with your phone, because what that does, it isolates the sound so that you don't hear your voices coming out. Because for some silly reason, they make these computers where the speaker and the output, you know, the recording are in the same spot. I mean, like, so you can double duty. I'm like, no, stop it.
Yeah. It also helps you to know if you're staying on your mic, right? Right.
Yes.
So if you know, because, you know, if you start to move away from your mic, you can hear the difference in the sound. So it helps you make sure that you're getting good sound.
Exactly. So it feels like we're eating our microphones, but it's actually better because for those listening, you can actually get a much clearer sound. So we're not like annoying you with the background noises.
Microphone.
So for those of you... So I'm going to have a quick look here. So we have Lindy and Garda and Colleen and Greg. Thanks for watching live. Make sure you add any comments if you have any comments. If you know you want to ask Eric about podcasting or any kind of story-based question, let us know. We always appreciate our guests. And if you have just joined us, make sure to click the little button. Like if you are watching on your phone, click the little button that says share. And we'd love to be able to get this message out far and wide because, you know, the whole concept of storytelling and broadcasting. And even like you said, Eric, you're with a church background, you've seen this kind of format. Do you reckon it's going to be used more often for how churches get their messages out?
I think so. I think what's happening is a lot of churches are realizing that social media is something they should be investing in. And so even though, you know, before they thought often, well, at least in places that I'm familiar with, it seemed like what the main attraction was what we're going to do on Sunday. Right? How are we going to, we're going to have a worship service. And so we're going to put a lot of effort into music and preaching and everything that's going to happen on stage. And then the idea was that you were going to attract people into that service. Except when you can't do that, then all of a sudden you have to know. So you have to know how to connect with people and deliver it to them in a different way. But then you have to have invested in social media in order to do that. And you, like I said before, you got to understand social media. You have to understand what it is. Well, long ago, I gave up trying to make the platform do what I wanted it to do and agreed to the way that the platform wants to be used, right? So Facebook, for instance, doesn't necessarily, they don't want to show my post on my Facebook page to everybody, but they do in a group. And so I started a group instead of a Facebook page because that's the way that they want you to connect. Don't fight it. Don't fight the rules. Just use the rules to your advantage.
Exactly. It's kind of like using the tech to your advantage of where you want to right. where people are. And it's really, especially if you want to use podcasting as a means of growing your authority online, your influence, your business, your ministry, whatever it is that you're trying to reach people, is you really need to understand it's not about what we want to do, but it's about going where those people are. Like, where are the audience? What makes it easy for them? Like, for me, you know, like all of us are on our phones now. So being able to quickly hop on and listen live, which is why I've also switched the show to live, because I want to hear from my audience and, you know, get that interactivity and let them know that, you know, we're right there with you and we are doing the same things that you are, you know, juggling homeschool. Let's get that done. I need to do Zoom for my podcast. Let's get you out of the room. And I think that's just that understanding. What I'm excited about is the opportunities that are coming. So if we had to wrap it up into like a takeaway tip, what would you say to everyone, Eric, about the whole power of podcasting?
Yeah. Well, there's a little thing that I like to tell people when they're starting their podcast, and it goes like this, basically, but it works for anybody, no matter where you are. And it's three ideas. The first one is do your best. You know, it doesn't matter where you are now, you can always grow. And so just commit to doing your best. When I first started podcasting, for me, that meant showing up every week. I tried a lot of other things, blogging and doing different platforms, but I didn't show up enough. And so for me, that was, I'm going to every Sunday and every Monday morning, I'm going to have content. That means every Sunday night, if it's not there, I'm going to stay up as long as it takes. Even though I'd be at work at 6 a.m, I was going to stay up to 11 or 12 or whatever it took in order to get that done. So the question is like, what is your best? The second one is start, because you never get better if you don't just get going, right? I'm sure you joined early 2013. That's impressive. But
yeah, the tech didn't work so great. We're like, oh God, I've got to do this. And how do I do this to fix? And like, ah!
Right. It takes time, but you don't learn all that stuff if you don't dive in. Right. So I had the idea for my podcast in 2014. I started recording in 2015. And I didn't launch until 2016. I wish I'd have started sooner. I'm glad I did when I did, but you just have to get going. And then the last one is iterate. And this is probably, I call this the big tuna of what I've learned for in podcasting. Because you may be bad at the beginning, right? You may not know how to use a mic like we talked about. You may use that condenser microphone we talked about. It doesn't matter if you got started, because you can always grow. Somebody said to me a couple months ago that he was listening, went back and listened to my early episodes and goes, "You've really grown. I think you're the podcaster who's grown the most." And I was like, "Thanks, I think." You know, like that's good. But I wouldn't have grown if I didn't start, right? If I didn't allow myself to be bad and then gradually add skills. So I've taken more to, I don't even do goals as much anymore as I do, what are the skills I want to add this year? I'm going to add some speaking. I'm going to add, you know, Twitter. Twitter is my new social media endeavor. I'm trying to show up on Twitter.
I don't know. Twitter and I have been a love-hate relationship. It feels
I'm finding people I want to have on the show on Twitter now. And it's going up. And so because I just decided to engage and show up, and I was bad at it at first, and now I'm investing. So
exactly. Like they say, just ship it, right? Just do it. Like I have lots of friends who said, I want to do podcasting and I'm just trying to find the perfect one. I'm like, listen, there ain't no perfect, because you will get better as you do it. People are understanding. I mean, even YouTubers, I love to do this. You go to YouTube, if you find someone you think, oh, they're so fabulous, I challenge you to go to where their video tip is and it says, start from oldest to newest and see their old videos. Right. That will give you confidence, because to know that they didn't start out perfect too.
They started somewhere, and you can upgrade everything. So, you know, we talked about microphones, right? If you can make that $100 investment, great. If you need to have a different kind of microphone early on, fine. You can upgrade it later. I didn't start with this one. I started with a different mic that I had. Everything in podcasting can be upgraded, including your message, including your voice, right? You can shift, you can pivot. You can go, you know what, I think I actually want to hear these kinds of stories instead of those kinds of stories, and move toward where you want to go. But you can't do that if you haven't started already. So
exactly. It's like testing the concepts. Like I've done this as well. Like before I go and create like a book or a course or a new project, I actually start asking questions and I think, okay, well, maybe this audience is who I want to serve. And I start interviewing people who are in that space and like, you know, trying to get a feel for it. And I realize after a while, usually after about 10 episodes, you're like, I don't know if this is the kind of audience I want to speak to. And that's fine. You could just start introducing other concepts. So people who are interested will stay and those who don't. And that's fine because there's something for everyone. And I don't think we should be so focused on vanity metrics that we're so worried about how many clicks and how many downloads. It's like, am I affecting and helping those who are meant to serve? And just focusing on finding them and just showing up. Like you said, being consistent, I think is been key.
I'm a huge fan of that idea of showing up. So two phrases, that one and creating space have been the ones that are really kind of defining my world right now. If you don't show up, if you're not bringing your whole self to an endeavor, why are you doing it? Right. There's no sense in doing that. And then if you creating space is what I do on my show. I create space for people to tell me their story, whatever. So that's a little different, but I also
creating space for you as a podcaster. I'd say, even though I started the show in 2013, I'm probably on now season 4. If I think about when I started and I took a break, like for one stage for 2 years, I didn't record anything new because there was so much going on personally that I was like, I don't have the bandwidth to do that. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to take your foot off the gas. You don't have to run yourself crazy. And, you know, if you feel like you're running out of things to say, or you feel like you just want to press pause. It's like all our favorite TV shows. They don't on forever. There's a season. Right. There's a start and an end. So maybe we can add that to making space too, right?
100%. You can always do that. You can always make room. That's the beautiful thing about podcasting. I told someone this yesterday. You can do what you want, right? You don't. No station manager is going to tell you what you got to do. You get to choose. And so if you want it to be a long show, a short show, an interview show, a monologue show, it's coming out every week or every other week or once a month. It doesn't matter. What matters is whatever you can handle and what you want to do. Now, there are best practices if you want to build your audience faster, right? But you don't have to start with those.
Exactly. Some people think you ought to do a show every day. I'm like, oh, honey, that's a lot of work. Like, I can manage once a week right now, and that's about all I can do. Well, tell our audience, how can they get in touch with you and find you online and all the good stuff you're doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, the best way to find me is at ericnevins.com. That's my website. And you can find an archive of my podcast. You can always subscribe. The show is called Halfway There. And we talk about the spiritual journey front to back. So we don't just talk about the good parts. We talk about the hard parts as well. So you can get that in any podcast app that you can imagine. And then also, if you're a podcaster, you're thinking about starting a podcast, we just launched with my friend Misty Phillip, Rocket Podcast. So it's Rocket Podcast Community. That's at rocketpodcast.co. And we're investing in our new community right now, and then we'll open it up later on in the summertime.
Definitely. So if that's something you're considering, you want some help and support of how to actually get yourself out there, I definitely would say, you know, get in touch with Eric, and it's Eric with the C for those who are listening, E-R-I-C. And then, as I said, if you want more information about how to get in touch, we will have a link below this video that'll link to the show notes that I host on my website. So we'll make sure to do that once we are off air. I'll be adding those too, so how you can connect and find Eric online. But if you've enjoyed what we've had to say today, make sure to share it with your friends. I'm sure you know somebody who would be really inspired by today's chat with Eric about being a podcaster or sharing your story or just getting using the medium yourself if you just want to be an avid listener. I think podcasting is something you can do anytime, on the treadmill, in the bathtub, in the carpool. No one needs to know. You can just have some me time, put your earphones on, especially for us working parents who are like, okay, I need some peace, podcasting. I think it's a really great medium. So make sure to do that. And if you want more resources that I only share with my newsletter community, go to mamikakuni.com and grab those today. We'd love to connect you with other guests and wonderful, inspiring content like what Eric shared today. So I got to say, thanks so much, Eric, for being on my show. I so appreciate it. And how did you feel? How did you like this live format?
It was fun. I love live. I think it was a lot of fun.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate all those who shared up. We've had Lindy and Garda, Colleen and Greg, and those who showed up live. Thank you so much for being on the really listening. And if you want to be able to watch the replay, just make sure to do that. You can click it. This will be available on Facebook as well as on my website, mamikakuni.com. So I'm going to say thanks again, everyone, for being with us today. And make sure to check back on the page, subscribe on first of all, like this Facebook page, because this is where I'm going to be streaming these shows on the Mimiki Kuni on Facebook. But this will also be made available after I do a little bit of production on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and all those fancy, nice platforms that podcasts are hosted as an audio version. So we all want to make this conversation and this content available for you in the format that works for you. So I got to say thanks again, everyone, and make sure to go ahead and stay tuned for next week's show. Thanks again, Eric. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys. Bye.